On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. If you're looking for hot-button issues in the world today, Israel and anti-Semitism are as hot as they come. Here's the latest twist, a new uproar with Jews charging Jews with anti-Semitism over Israel. American Jewish defenders of Israel charging progressive Jewish critics with fueling anti-Semitism and being themselves anti-Semitic. And they're naming names, Tony Kushner, Tony Jutt, Richard Cohen, and many more. Jewish critics of Israel say it's an attack on free speech and on the very Jewish tradition of free thinking and open debate. Jewish critics of the critics say vehement questioning of Israel presents a danger to Jews and Israel and must be stopped. Up next on Point, Jews charging Jews with anti-Semitism over Israel. We will hear many voices from across quite a spectrum today. We begin in Bloomington, Indiana, with Alvin Rosenfeld, director of the Institute for Jewish Culture at Indiana University. He wrote the essay titled Progressive Jewish Thought and the New Anti-Semitism that was recently published by the American Jewish Committee. Alvin Rosenfeld, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Make your case for us in a nutshell, if you would, sir.
What would you like me to say? You've read my essay, I take it.
But our listeners have not.
A little bit about how I came to write the essay, if that would be useful.
Yes, please.
I'm a scholar of the Holocaust. I've devoted a few decades to researching the Holocaust. I've written and edited 5 books and many articles in the subject. Naturally, I'm alert to anti-Semitism. And over the last half dozen years or so, I and a great many others have been seeing something we never thought to see before, namely a resurgence of anti-Semitism. Mm. That takes place both in act and in utterance, and in this particular essay, I attend especially to utterance, to hostile statements, particularly by Jews who identify as progressive Jews, which strike me really as being very damaging. I set forth my brief in that essay with liberal quotations from a great many sources, and readers are now discussing it.
You write, the age-old indictment of the Jews has reawakened and rediscovered its voice, which these days is inflected more and more with a Jewish accent. And you point to scholars, teachers, writers, political activists, poets, religious thinkers. On the progressive side, you say, Alvin Rosenfeld, the biblical prophets stood on the side of justice and were never hesitant to denounce their people's behavior when they saw it deviating from the standards of justice. But you're not prepared to put these voices, these people, in that category. Why not?
No, because I don't think what we're facing here has got anything to do with justice. There are saner voices, more sensible voices, that from time to time issue perfectly legitimate criticisms of Israeli policies and actions. What I'm looking at is something else, much to the extreme of that. People who question the very essence of the state of Israel's right to exist, who call for the end of Israeli political sovereignty and an independent Jewish nation state, who delegitimize that state, and who consequently abet the most virulent kind of hostility directed against it by others. At that point, what we're looking at is not justice, but something like injustice.
Readers have flocked to the American Jewish Committee website to read this. And by the way, you can link to the essay at our website, onpointradio.org, if you'd like to see it right now. But many of our listeners, Mr. Rosenfeld, will not have read the essay. Can you give some examples of individuals and statements that exemplify what you're criticizing here?
Sure. One is the British writer Jacqueline Rose, who's written and published a book called The Question of Zion, who in one episode of her book places Hitler and Herzl at the Paris Opera to hear a performance of Wagner. Hitler and Herzl were never at the opera together. They couldn't have been. Hitler never arrived in Paris until 1940, and Herzl was not in the picture.
Presumably she doesn't present this as fact. This is literature.
Well, no, she certainly does present it as fact.
Oh, okay.
But what she does, although there is no fact to it, it's a total fabrication, and it ends up aligning the father of Zionism with the architect of Nazism. That linkage strikes me as poisonous, and I cite other examples of it as well in my essay. If one is not, in fact, seeing the State of Israel defamed and delegitimized by parallels to Nazism, one finds references to an apartheid Israel, to an Israel guilty of ethnic cleansing, to an Israel guilty of wholesale genocide. And I cite all my sources by name in the essay.
Bring us to some of the Americans shy of putting Hitler and Herzl arm in arm in Paris. You point to Tony Kushner, the Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, the historian Tony Judt, we'll hear from him, the poet Adrian Rich, Washington Post column Richard Cohen. What kind of statements by these American Jews have caught your eye?
Adrian Rich quotes, issues some words that sound to me like Blut und Boden talk right out of the Nazi lexicon. I don't cite Tony Kushner's words. He edited a book, which I quote at some length, which is replete with references.
This is Wrestling with Zion.
You just mentioned, accusing Israel of being an apartheid, racist, colonialist, imperialist state, guilty of the worst crimes. Israel is hardly... should hardly be free of criticism. It has its problems, God knows, and it can only benefit from good critics. But what I'm looking at are not people, in fact, who have the welfare of the State of Israel at heart, but rather people who would like to bring it to heel and see it disappear.
The idea of self-hating Jews is an old one, but maybe something slightly different here. In your mind, where exactly is the line? Where does criticism of Israel become anti-Semitism itself?
Yes. Let me just say, by the way, I never once in my essay used the term self-hating Jew.
Yes, quite right. Yes.
So I just would like to correct
that.
It's
a distinction. No, I don't mean to suggest you do, but I wanted, if you can draw the distinction that you're making.
Yes. Well, it's not easy to draw the distinction, but I would say in rough terms, again, that legitimate criticism of specific Israeli policies or actions, like legitimate criticism of American or French or British Israeli actions or policies, is perfectly fine. But any, I think one crosses the line when one reduces the State of Israel to the kinds of obscenities that I just described. Israel as a Nazi state, Israel as akin to South Africa, etc. Those countries, thank goodness, are gone, and they didn't deserve to have a continued existence. Israel is not in their league, and it's simply wrong and damaging to put it in that league. So there's the line.
Alvin Rosenfeld joins us from Bloomington, Indiana, University of Indiana. He wrote the essay that's getting a lot of attention, titled Progressive Jewish Thought and the New Anti-Semitism. It's naming names and saying we have Jews abetting, fueling anti-Semitism right now in their criticism of Israel. Alvin Rosenfeld, please stand by. I want to welcome another voice into our conversation, and we will hear many. With me in the studio now, Alan Wolf. He's director of the Boise Center for Religion and American Public Life at Boston College. He's a professor of political science there. He's author of Does American Democracy Still Work? Alan Wolf, thanks very much for being with us. What do you hear in these charges and in this debate about what's acceptable and what's not?
Well, thanks for having me on, Tom. When a New York Times reporter called me to ask me what I thought about Alvin Rosenfeld's essay, which I had read, I said that I was almost in a state of shock at what he claimed. Now that I've reread it, now that I've heard him speak on your program, I'll take away the almost. I'm in a state of shock. I think that this is way over the line. First, I make a distinction between criticisms of Israel, criticisms of the idea of Zionism, and anti-Semitism. To say that someone objects to Zionism is to say that someone objects to a political platform, political program. Politics encourages disagreement, and we ought to disagree over political views, including the Zionist idea. But to accuse someone of anti-Semitism, that's not a disagreement. That's to consign someone to the same camp as Henry Ford, or even in the worst case, the Nazis themselves. It's to tar someone. It's not to argue with someone. It's to tar someone with prejudice and hatred. I think that's something that Jews especially really ought to avoid doing. And if I could just add one more point, I think that this, what I would call this kind of Jewish political correctness, this searching for people's words and drawing distinctions about what's acceptable and is not acceptable, is a violation of an idea that has been great to the Jews over the centuries, and that's the idea of liberalism, the idea of open minds.
Even when those words are words applied to Israel, as Alvin Rosenfeld says, like apartheid, racism, ethnic cleansing.
When I was young, I remember that there was a big debate about whether the American Civil Liberties Union should come to the defense of Nazis who are marching in Skokie, Illinois. And the ACL did, and a lot of Jews supported that. I mean, Jews, I think, have all of us should believe in free speech. But Jews, because they've been a religious minority throughout the history of the world, have a special interest in freedom of speech. We should be confident enough in ourselves. We should be confident enough of our identity as a people, and even confident enough of the security of the state of Israel, which is not threatened by Tony Kushner, Adrian Rich, Tony Judd, or anyone. We should be confident enough of all those things to say that we welcome vigorous and open debate. This move towards censorship, because that's what this essay really is, it's a step towards censorship, is a disaster for people in general and a disaster for Jews in particular.
Alvin Rosenfeld, I want to get your response, if I may, to Alan Wolf on this issue of Jewish tradition, free speech, free thought. But if I could, before we go there, just last week we had on the show, there's a piece of tape I'd like to share. We had with us just last week the renowned author, Jewish, Norman Mailer. He was talking about his new book, The Castle in the Forest, which looks to Adolf Hitler's origins and youth. And he talked about the impact, Norman Mailer did, of the Nazi leader on Jewish culture and dialogue ever since.
The real damage that Hitler did to civilization after the murder of 6 million people was precisely that he injured our ability to think clearly. Political correctness, which is an intellectual virus that may yet poison a great deal of human thought, comes from Hitler, comes from the fact that Hitler was so horrible that people cannot even begin to think clearly about all sorts of things. The damage he's done to my fellow co-religionists, the Jews, is immense. Because we used to be an inquiring people, a people who were excited by new ideas, excited by new thoughts, new possibilities of looking at experience. And now, because of Hitler, there's a kind of Jewish caution that puts a wet blanket on all sorts of new thinking. The old joke of the Jews, is this good for the Jews, has now become an iron law. Stop all discussion that you don't feel in control of. Terrible thing for the Jews. I, as a Jew, feel it. I know it.
Norman Mailer with us on Point last week. Alvin Rosenfeld, Alan Wolf says political correctness. Norman Mailer says a wet blanket on all sorts of new thinking, stopping discussion you don't feel in control of. This is not, he says, in line with Jewish tradition. What's your response to this critique of your critique?
I think it's a total red herring. I'm all for free thought and liberal thinking. And if anything, in fact, for continuing debate, not for shutting down debate. There's nothing in my essay whatsoever that calls for censorship. However, intellectuals have to be held accountable. I myself, as an intellectual, likewise have to be held accountable. And what I'm doing in that essay is criticizing critics. That's hardly censorship. That's not stifling debate. And accusations of that sort just don't make sense to me. As for attributing political correctness to Hitler, as the author of a book on Hitler, I would simply say that's raw nonsense.
No, I think the political correctness, in Norman Mailer's words, is being attributed to Jews who are not open to fully free thought and debate.
Well, I'm not one such Jew. I'm a very faithful Jew, a very devoted Jew, and I'm all for open debate, hence my essay. To see that essay, in fact, as aimed to shut down debate simply makes no sense to me.
And when you say what you want is not censorship but accountability, what do you mean by that accountability? The anti-Semite tag is being put on here. What comes with that?
First of all, I don't accuse anyone in that essay of being an anti-Semite. There is such a thing, it's well documented, as Jewish anti-Semitism. But I don't accuse anyone in that essay of being an anti-Semite. However,
though it's close, you say the age-old indictment these days inflected more and more with a Jewish accent.
That's... I certainly say that they contribute to an intellectual and political atmosphere that is helping to feed anti-Semitism, and that they abet anti-Semitism. And I'll stand behind those words.
I want to begin to bring our callers in here. From Watertown, Massachusetts, Michael is on the line. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hi. excuse me. A bit of a cold. Just a little crunk. I guess part of the question is that there really will always be people who will use anti-Zionism, legitimate or illegitimate, as an excuse for anti-Semitism, but there will also be people, Jews included, and especially Jews, if we support Israel, who as a matter of conscience, if we see Israel doing something wrong in our eyes, we'll have to say so. I think we should learn a little from the anarchists and remember that every nation is more or less what, like a better or worse sort of mafia or a criminal gang, but and Israel is no exception. And so we shouldn't treat it exceptionally. But on the other hand, no, where does it stop? What can Israel do that is still beyond criticism?
But what about the ideas? Alvin Rosenfeld says, when you begin to throw words like apartheid, racism, colonialism, ethnic cleansing at Israel, he says, this is aiding and abetting anti-Semitism, fueling it.
It's anti-Semitism if you say they're doing these evil things because they're Jews and Jews are evil, or if you strongly imply that and if you come at it from an anti-Semitic point of view to begin with. If you say Israel is behaving like most occupying powers do and doing a lot of wrong things, then I think you're on perfectly legitimate territory. And the thing that bothers me about the essay, which I admit to have only have skimmed, excuse me, is that it's terrifically anecdotal. And as a person, I'd like to say, at the Enlightenment, I'd like to see some statistics. You can't tar even strong critics, though not anti-Semitic ones, with one or two or ten examples if 90% of them are still remaining reasonable.
Michael, thank you for your call. Let's get another right here, if I may, from Boston. Ronnie is calling. Hi, Ronnie. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I'd like to make two points. I teach Israeli studies at Tufts University, mm-hmm. and I've found that there is a tremendous difference in the discourse in Israel within the academic community or in general in the media and the American Jewish community that is very much insular and closed towards criticism, especially outside the community, so that if you want to speak against Israeli policies, you're looked at as if you're betraying your own community, whereas in Israel, the discourse is very much open towards criticism of Zionism, of particular Israeli policies, and even the idea of whether or not there should be a Jewish state.
So which do you think is healthier, better for Israel, if we want to look at it that way for a minute?
Well, I'm from the liberal camp, and I believe that, of course, the discourse is more effective and better for Israel. Let the market of ideas be opened, and the best idea will win, or those that resonate with the Israeli community. But to clump all of those who object to Zionism, which, again, is a political movement, as anti-Semitists, I think is undermining the credibility or the strength of the Zionist movement itself, as if it's not able to sustain those criticisms. And then I find that my second point, that there is levels of credibility of those who can and cannot criticize Israel. If you're Israeli, then you're much more able to criticize Israel than if you are, quote unquote, just Jewish. And if you've served in the military in Israel, well, then it's open season.
Are you saying that's right or wrong? Should American Jews, or for that matter, any American, be free to criticize Israel or be careful in their criticism?
Well, I think we should all be credible careful or nuanced in our criticism, mm-hmm. but I don't think that the criticism of policies or particular political ideas are saved only for Israelis.
Ronnie, thank you very much for calling. Alvin Rosenfeld, what about this idea that it may be a kind of insult to Zionism to say it's not strong enough to withstand this sort of criticism from Jews, from American Jews?
I don't really think Zionism is what's at issue. Most people who see themselves as anti-Zionist are just using the term anti-Zionist as a cover for being broadly against the state of Israel as such. Israelis themselves, by and large, are no longer even Zionists, and Tzionut, the Hebrew term for Zionism, has a pejorative sense within Israel. I think when one is looking at what's called anti-Zionism today, one is looking at something else.
But if, let me just ask you, if let's say a Jew is anti-Zionist, let's say a particular Jewish person doesn't favor the idea of Israel, does that make that person anti-Semitic?
No, not necessarily, by any means at all, and they're welcome not to favor the state of Israel. Those are not the people I'm dealing with in my essay.
And why go particularly to progressives? As you point out in the essay, some very Orthodox Jews have been upset by the idea of Israel for a long time. Why are you targeting progressives in particular, top of the list?
Because most of the voices, the loudest voices, the most influential voices, don't come from the Tori Karta on the right, but from radical left thinkers who call themselves progressives. It's not my term, it's really their term. If you look at the subtitle of Tony Kushner's book, you'll see that he uses the term progressive.
Alan Wolf, you're listening closely here, as are a lot of people, many Jews, many not Jews, no doubt thinking, well, okay, what is all right to say about Israel and what is not? What are you thinking as you hear this conversation unfold?
Professor Rosenfeld says that he doesn't advocate censorship, but what I think we hear, even as he speaks today, is an extremely censorial attitude, a censorial disposition, where someone will interpret the words of critics of Israel and make the interpretation that those words cross a line. Because many of the people, look, I have no brief for the people that Rosenfeld is critical of, Jacqueline Rose and so on. They're not in my camp. I don't agree with them politically. Mm. But what I hear is that I, whether it's Alvin Rosenfeld or someone else, divine that a particular statement, for example, that there should be a biracial state in Israel or something like that, that that statement translates into opposition to the very nature of Israel and constitutes a form of Israeli denial, which is the moral equivalent of Holocaust denial and therefore shouldn't be permitted. If you act in that, or you think in that censorial way, you don't need to advocate censorship. It sounds to me, I don't want to be insulting and so on, but political correctness is a term that originally grew out of a kind of Stalinism, that the movement, communism, was so important that it couldn't tolerate critics. As a liberal, I would really object to that. For me to hear people in defense of Israel to adopt the same attitude, that just as the Communist Party has to root out this kind of, has to have the censorial attitude and root out criticism, the State of Israel does, I just think is anathema to everything that Israel has stood for since its birth and that everything Jews have stood for thousands of years.
Is it a tempest in a teapot, or does it really, could it, has it changed the conversation about Israel, made it less open, or you name it?
I view it as a kind of testing of the water. Let's have the American Jewish Committee sponsor a pamphlet. Let's publish the pamphlet. As Professor Rosenfeld said, he doesn't come out and explicitly say that criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic, but others have, such as Shulamit Reinhardt, who I understand will be on the program as well, the wife of the president of Brandeis University, who did explicitly make that link. It's a kind of, let's see how far we can go. Let's see what the reaction will be. I've been very reluctant to get involved about Israel and about discussing Israel, but this essay, this mood crosses a line, and I feel compelled now to speak out because I view it as an extremely dangerous turning point.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let me go to Joseph, calling from Waltham, Massachusetts. Hi, Joseph. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly.
So I'm a senior at Brandeis University, and my time at Brandeis has really shown me that members of the American Jewish community, which I am a part of myself, mm-hmm. seem to have set the bar for anti-Semitism so low that a well-intentioned man can trip over. That the Tony Kushner, for example, that his book, where in the very preface he extols his love of Israel, and his commitment to seeing Israel survive and see its safety ensured. And yet, because there are voices in that collection, not his own, that question Israel and have very tough words against Israel, he gets painted with this broad brush as anti-Semitic.
Joseph, what about your generation, college-aged? What do you see? Is there a prevailing view, back off in the harshest criticism of Israel, or open up the debate, which seems to be ascendant in your age cohort?
I think there's a division between those who couldn't care less and those who embrace the most reactionary values, both on the left and on the right. There are both those who speak in the harshest words against Israel and those who are willing to condemn anyone who they think might in any way speak out against Israel. And I think that really it does a disservice to the cause of the Jewish community of Israel and of the Palestinian people, a phrase which can get you in a lot of trouble, even at Brandeis.
Joseph, thanks very much for your call. Let's get one more from New Haven, Connecticut, if I may. Suzanne is calling. Hi, Suzanne, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Suzanne from Connecticut.
Yes.
I spent 4 years at Yale University, and there is definitely a huge confusion between Zionism and anti-Semitism. As you know, Yale is a very Jewish school, and, you know, you had to be very careful. You can't speak out against Israel on any issue, because right away it's an anti-Semitic stand that you're taking. And aside from that, you know, another point, as a Jew, I've gone to Israel and I've seen apartheid in Israel. So I think that, you know, you can call it whatever, but it's apartheid.
Suzanne, thanks for your call. I want to bring another voice in here, if I may, from Berkeley, California. We're joined by Rabbi Michael Lerner, editor of the bimonthly Jewish magazine Tikkun. Rabbi Lerner, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What's your response to the essay, to the uproar, progressives as abetting a new anti-Semitism?
Well, first of all, I think it's unfair to Alvin Rosenfeld to blame him for all of this, because he's just a small bit player, although he is aiding and abetting, to use his language, aiding and abetting the repression of free speech that is happening very systematically, both in the Jewish world and in the larger American political dimension. It's all about switching the conversation from the systematic denial of human rights to the Palestinians to the legitimacy of people who raise those kinds of issues. It happens both in the Jewish world and throughout American politics.
Ahmed's calling from Montreal in Canada. Ahmed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Tom.
Hi.
I just want to mention, basically, according to the facts on the ground, we have ex-head of states, President Carter, President Mandela, mentioning that Israel is an apartheid state. I think questioning or criticizing Israel is not only correct, but an obligation to people who love justice, not anti-Jewish, people who are not anti-justice.
But you know, there's fierce denial of that characterization of Israel, yeah, or its treatment of the West Bank by people who equally fervently hold that the opposite view. Ahmed?
Yes, I understand your question. Sorry.
Well, simply that, yes, that word has been put out there, but the denial is there too. I mean,
we have like facts on the ground. We have the cutting of the water supplies, the destroying of the homes, et cetera, et cetera. This is not just. It's not fair, and it continues happening. And every time there is an objection from the world community, like the United Nations and the resolutions, and nothing happens, I can say that people who are against, who criticize, is an obligation.
Ahmed is raising a very important point here, and that is, and it's illustrative of what's wrong with the discussion about Jewish anti-Semitism.
Michael Lerner.
Yes, you see, the issue here is that the charges of anti-Semitism are typical of what's happened actually since the First Intifada began in 1988, and that is that instead of listening to the content of the critique and then answering it, the Jewish establishment has managed to switch the discussion to the legitimacy of the people making the critique. And that's what happens with President Carter in his new book, Palestine, Peace, or or apartheid. That's what's happened with Tikkun magazine, which from the start has been pro-Israel but extremely critical of Israeli policy. Now, what Ahmed is saying, I disagree with. I don't believe Israel is an apartheid state, but I don't think it's an. But I do think that there are policies in the West Bank, not in Israel itself, but in the West Bank, which are very close to apartheid. Anyway, that's a kind of discussion that's a reasonable discussion to have. But when people are told that they are going to be labeled anti-Semitic, self-hating Jews, or enemies of Israel, when they even involve themselves in that discussion, then, as one of your previous questioners who called in said, then you find this bizarre situation in which people in Israel have a total engagement in that kind of discourse. For example, Shulamit Aloni, the former Minister of Justice of the State of Israel, recently wrote an article, which you can find at our website, tikkun.org, T-I-K-K-U-N.org, in which she says, absolutely, Israel is an apartheid state. Now, I don't agree with her, but the point is that kind of discussion is absolutely legitimate. And what the Jewish community has been doing is pushing away not just others outside, but its own young people are told over and over again that the moment they use their critical faculties to question Israel, the moment they go into their heart and into their ethical sensibilities to raise questions about whether it's okay for a Jewish people to be involved in claiming a Jewish state, to be involved in systematically denying the human rights of others, they are told that they are illegitimate, that they are, as Alvin put it, aiding and abetting the anti-Semitism in the world, and this pushes those Jews away from the Jewish world. But simultaneously, and this is critical, we've brought, as I said, started in the last section, we are trying to build an alternative to AIPAC. And when we go to our congresspeople, and we've met with them, I've personally been in rooms with congresspeople who say to me, I cannot do this. I totally agree with what you're saying, but I know that the ability of the organized Jewish community to label me an anti-Semite, anti-Israel, if I raise the tiniest little criticisms, isn't worth it to me, because I am going to lose my seat here, and it's not worth facing that kind of labeling that goes on. And it's pervasive throughout the Congress. There's no other issue in Congress in which people are not allowed to debate. Americans can debate the war in Iraq and take very strong criticisms of our own government, and that's okay. But dare they say that Israel is as screwed up in what it's doing to the Palestinians as what America is doing to the Iraqis, they are labeled as fundamentally beyond, outside the political discourse.
Rabbi Michael Lerner has written an essay called There Is No New Anti-Semitism. You can find a link to that essay as well at our website, onpointradio.org. Rabbi Lerner, editor of the Tikkun, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Our time grows short, but I want to get another perspective in here. Joining us from Waltham, Massachusetts, Shulamit Reinhartz, professor of sociology at Brandeis University, founding director of the Hadassah Brandeis Institute, which looks at gender and Jewish identity, columnist for the Jewish Advocate, a New England Jewish weekly. In late December, she wrote an opinion piece titled Fighting Jewish Antisemitism. You can read that piece at our website, onpointradio.org. She joins us now. Shulamit Reinhartz, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Tom, for inviting me, and thank you for not identifying me as the wife of the president of Brandeis University, as Alan Wolf did, and as was done in the New York Times. I'm my own independent person.
Well, you're gracious in a way to do it yourself, but we welcome you as your independent person. Do you see a new anti-Semitism, and do you see it, I guess you do, aided and abetted by progressive Jewish critics of Israel?
If it's all right with you, I'd like to just start with a slightly different point, and that is that I disagree with almost everything that was said by everybody on this station, on this program so far. And the reason is that nobody has looked at what Zionism is. Several people have said that Zionism is a modern political movement. That's one form of Zionism, but Zionism is an integral part of Judaism and is founded in the original relationships of the Jewish people with God and with the original story of coming out of Egypt, etc. Now, maybe some people who don't believe in religion don't want to accept that, but that is the foundation of the formation of a Jewish people. and a Jewish people is what have been sustained in part after having been exiled 2,000 years ago, have been sustained by an eventual return to the land. And if you don't accept those ideas, which many people don't, then there is very little basis for thinking about the very existence of Israel. And nobody has talked about that. Nobody has talked about the connection between Zionism and being Jewish. And
you're insisting on that. You wrote in the Jewish Advocate, most would say that these critics, are simply anti-Zionists, not anti-Semites, but I disagree.
Right.
Shulamit Reinhart, you're saying if a Jew, and I guess it is anti-Zionist or more, in your words, if they oppose Israel too vehemently, is that anti-Semitism?
This is what I believe, that if someone opposes the very right of Israel to exist, which was the definition of Zionism that came about right at 48. Before that time, and I know people don't like to talk about history, but before that time, it was the Zionism meant the attempt to create a state, and that attempt and that the legitimacy of that idea was endorsed by the UN in 1947, which is a very important point to take because that was the time when two different states were established, or were there was an attempt to establishment, which is the very thing that we're trying to work on today. Why is it taking from 47 to 2007? Because that notion that there should be a Jewish state was perceived as illegitimate by Arab states who then attacked Israel.
And vehement Jewish critics of Israel or Israeli policy, do you see them as putting Israel at risk and themselves as anti-Semites?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you why. There seem to be two major friends of Israel today. Israel is, I perceive, as a very isolated country. And those two friends are America, which sees in Israel a trading partner and another democracy, which it is trying to create in other countries, of course, rightly or wrongly, and Jews worldwide. Those are the only two friends that they have. So if America would no longer be a friend of the Jews, of Israel, Israel would be completely isolated and vulnerable. Now, similarly, if I could just finish that thought, similarly, if Jews around the world abandoned Israel, educated in our colleges and elsewhere young people to really believe that Israel has no right to exist, and that's the point that I'm really trying to focus on, the right to exist, not criticisms. Criticisms of Israel are completely legitimate. There is absolutely no squelching of free speech. There's no squelching of free speech in Israel or in the American Jewish press or in Jewish organizations. It's what we spend all of our time doing, and we are supposed to do that. Our job, like in the word tikkun, means to repair.
Mm.
We are trying to repair and make Israel a better and better place.
Alan Wolf, if I may, Shulamit Reinhart, if I may go to Alan Wolf for just a moment. How do you respond? Shulamit Reinhart says, look, you've got a vulnerable country, and it's got a biblical root
source.
And if you are too hard on it...
if you delegitimize...
I'm glad to hear that Shulamit Reinhart does say here on the air what she said in her article in the Jewish Advocate, that to criticize Israel, to criticize it vehemently, as she says in the article, who knows who's going to define what vehement is, but to criticize is to be anti-Semitic. This seems to me to be a very, very dangerous notion, as I've expressed. But let me just add one thing here. We're talking here about universities and about intellectuals. Brandeis University is named after one of the greatest defenders of free speech in American history. I urge everyone to read Louis D. Brandeis's opinion in Whitney versus California in 1927, probably the most articulate and passionate defense of free speech that I've ever heard. I did not identify Shulamit Reinhart as the wife of the president of Brandeis University.
Yes, you did on this radio show.
She identified herself that way in numerous articles on the website. It is relevant to me that the wife of the president of a university named after one of the greatest defenders of free speech is now calling for the suppression of free speech. That to me to be a serious, serious, serious issue.
Alan Wolf also happens to be married to a professor at Brandeis University. And with regard to Louis Brandeis, he also wrote a letter in which he said every American should be a Zionist, every American Jew should be a Zionist. Alan Wolf and I could debate all these issues for a long time to come.
I understand. Let me ask you what you mean when you say in your essay, you're appealing to Jews. What is to be done, you ask? And you say we have to write back, speak back, teach back, fight back, sue for libel. I mean, you said it's too bad that it's so easy to publish these days. You know, it sounds a little, I mean, I understand your fervor here, but yet in a free speech country, that sounds a little creepy.
Why?
Well, I mean, publishing and debating, as you say, is it's not only a part of Jewish tradition, it's part of American tradition.
One thing, you've got to go to Britain to sue for libel. Our free speech tradition doesn't allow that.
My call in the article, and you have to remember it was written in the Jewish Advocate. My article was addressed to Jews. I feel that Jews are much too timid. I don't feel that we have enough Jewish leaders out there debating. And all I was trying to do is to say, when we hear points of view that somebody disagrees with, speak back about it. I think there's a lot of self-silencing by Jews. I love free speech. I want to debate everybody. Mm. And I want to just make one statement about Norman Mailer, who I think was really wrong when he said Jews have become silenced after the Holocaust. If you look in terms of liberal movements and progressive movements, think about feminism. Feminism is one of the most important progressive movements of the second half of the 20th century, and its leaders and its participants and its activists have all been women. It is a ridiculous charge.
But then there's the headline. We'll get back to Mr. Rosenfeld, but there it is, progressives, progressive Jews and the new anti-Semitism. I want to get another caller, Shira from Boston. Hi, Shira, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. What do you think, Shira?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of these people who criticize Israel are too young to remember what the world was like before Israel. I was born 2 years before Israel was created. I'm 60 years old. But my mother, who was born in Israel and who emigrated to the United States at the age of 2, remembers very vividly what the world was like before Israel. And I never stopped hearing from her how hopeless and helpless the Jews felt without a land to go, you know, to go to, with being stateless people. And in fact, since the State of Israel was born, things like Entebbe and the rescue of Russian Jews, Yemeni Jews, Indian Jews would never have happened. I mean, Jews like that would have been enslaved or oppressed.
So what does that mean to you now, Shira? Put a cork in it, Jewish critics of Israel?
No, but be very, very careful how you... Well, first of all, anybody who doesn't live with the pressures that an Israeli has to live with really has no right to criticize the way they do. I mean, the Israelis...
Even when the country is a close ally, let's say, of the United States? Even when the country is such a close ally with whom our foreign policy is so bound up?
Yes, but you know what? There's nothing like living with that kind of pressure. You know, an Israeli soldier who's on guard every single day for his life and for the life of his country, Israel is hanging by a thread. I don't know if...
Shira, we hear it, and our time is so short. We're grateful for your call. Alvin Rosenfeld, you've waited so patiently. Bottom line, do you see your essay as promoting a free and open debate of these issues or as clamping down on it?
No, it's nonsense. I'm a teacher. I'm all for open speech. I encourage my students to think critically. I myself think critically. And my own critical engagement with the people I discuss, in fact, is sharp and will be ongoing, and I hope will lead to ongoing productive debates. Any allegation that I or the American Jewish Committee is in the business of stifling free speech, shutting down debate, enacting censorious attitudes really strikes me as misguided. It's just not on point. That's not me. That's not the committee. Let's continue the discussion.
Alvin Rosenfeld, author of the essay Progressive Jewish Thought and the New Antisemitism, with the American Jewish Committee publishing it there. Alvin Rosenfeld, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Alan Wolf, in brief, a last thought?
I think it was a terrific program. I think we heard quite explicitly very censorial voices calling for the suppression of ideas, and I'm grateful to you, Tom, for allowing these people to speak in such illiberal ways. Thank you.
Alan Wolf of Boston College and Shulamit Reinhart's last word goes to you.
Thank you. One thing that I would hope people would do is stop talking about Israel in a vacuum. There is a reason that Israel is in the West Bank, and it did not have anything to do with attacking Palestinians. If there could possibly be someone who would reach out a hand for peace, Israel would make peace, and maybe these issues would disappear.
Shulamit Reinhart, professor of sociology at Brandeis University, thank you very much for joining us.
Bye.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.